is from Colossians, Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3. And we'll be looking at the first 10 verses, Colossians chapter 3, and we'll be looking at the first 10 verses. As we journey toward the cross, and as we journey toward the grave and the resurrection, I've been speaking on the subject of new life. It's that new life that we find in Jesus Christ. It's a new life that we find in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And though we're not together in the meeting house, we are still the church. Amen. I continue to believe the Word of God, and the Word of God tells us and it affirms to us that the body of Christ is the people. It is the church of the living God. It's not brick and mortar. It's not a place like this, but it's a place like this. It's flesh and blood. It's those who have been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, redeemed by Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Those who have been restored, that's you and I. That's us. That's the body of Christ. And we are His church. And we need to proclaim that truth to the world. And as such, we have been thrust into a time such as this. And so we continue to function. We continue to serve as the church, because the church of Jesus Christ was established in the book of Acts. It was a church that was established so that it might study God's word, so that they might serve others through ministry opportunities, so that they might worship the risen Lord, so that they might fellowship with other believers, even though they may be practicing social distancing like we are today. We carry the message of Jesus Christ, and that's what the church in Acts was doing. They were carrying the message of Jesus Christ. They were evangelizing the world. They were making disciples to the ends of the earth. And though this may look different to us, and though it may be going on through various mediums and various platforms, God's plan, God's purpose is still working out. God has not been caught by surprise. God has not quit working. His purposes are still working. They're still new. They're still going forward. And so we serve Him. And therefore I remind you that our journey toward the cross, our journey toward the grave, our journey toward the resurrection has not changed. We will celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We will celebrate Easter Sunday. We will do that. I don't know how that'll look, but I do know that we will celebrate the risen Lord. Because we will do so, because as we're reminded today, we've been transformed. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 has always been one of my most favorite sections of Scripture. Now, I've got a lot. You know, I mean, there's Isaiah 40. Yeah. I can't even remember the script. I can't even remember the text now.
Wait, what?
You can mount up with wings like eagles. You should run and not grow weary. You should walk and Google it. You'll find it. John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world. We look at all of those scriptures, and there's a lot of different scriptures, but Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 speaks to me, and it speaks to me today. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves as living sacrifices, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, here it is. But be not conformed to this world, but be transformed.
That's right.
By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We have been transformed. And transformed speaks to several things with spiritual implications. The definition of the word transformed is that we make a thorough or a dramatic change in the form or the appearance or the character. In the electrical current. I don't know much about that. And if Robert's watching, he'd probably laugh at me. But the electrical current, transformers change the voltage of the electrical signal coming from the power plant. In nature, and my biologist Joel's probably listening, and he's probably going to laugh at me too. One day the caterpillar will climb up on a twig and attach itself. It'll turn upside down after it stops eating. It'll attach itself to a leaf, and it will spin a silky cocoon that will surround its body and protect it. And in that protective casing, the caterpillar will radically transform into a new, beautiful butterfly or a moth. And so in Scripture, we see that in Scripture, transformation takes place. God's transformed people is in Colossians chapter 3. This is where Paul is writing to the Colossian Christians. He's writing to them from a Roman prison. He's also, at the very same time that he's penning the word of Colossians, he's penning to the word to the church at Ephesus, he's penning to the Ephesians, and he's penning a letter to Philemon. And so, altogether, in AD 60, he's writing these letters together. But to the church at Colossae, he writes for us something that speaks to us in the 21st century. And so Colossians chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, the scripture says, "So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died," verse 3, "you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death what belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, God's wrath is coming upon the disobedient. And you once walked in these things." Look at that, verse 7. "And you once walked in these things when you were living in them. But now," verse 8, "put away all the following: anger, wrath, malice, slander, filthy language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old self with its practices." Now notice this, verse 10. "And you put on the new life. You are being renewed in knowledge according to the image of your Creator." Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. And I pray, Father, that you will use it to speak to our hearts in these brief few moments. Lord, hide me behind the cross of Calvary, and I pray your people would not see me, but they would see you. I pray they would not hear me, but that they would hear you. And that, Lord, they would respond to you, because the word says that if I be lifted up, that's Jesus, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself. And so, Lord, I pray that all would be drawn to you. Give us, Lord, knowledge and understanding that our life has been radically transformed. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Amen. We examine this text today before us, and we're going to use three words. Those three words are simple, and if you've got a pen and a piece of paper, or if you've got your notes on your phone, I want you to write these words. We're going to look at the word position. We're going to look at the word perception. And we're going to look at the word provision. As we look at the word position, I want you to notice that the scripture tells us that as a believer, you have been raised, seated at the right hand. You see, it's because of our union with Jesus Christ that we as believers have entered into a spiritual newness. We've entered into the spiritual newness of his death. We've entered into that spiritual newness of his burial. We've entered into that spiritual newness of his resurrection. It is at the moment that you and I come to know Jesus Christ, some preachers call it conversion experience, and you come to that point in your life where you accept Christ as your Savior, whether it's at the altar in a church or whether it's at a restaurant, or whether it's in your home or your bedroom, wherever it may be, that moment that you come to know Jesus Christ, you have died to the old life. You have been buried to the old life, and you've been raised up to a new life in Jesus Christ. Just this past Sunday, we baptized one just in the middle of the service, right here. He actually tried to baptize me. He was so excited about being baptized when I put my hand on his back, which was part of the instruction, which I was actually trying to move him so that people could see me. But he decided he would go down. And we almost both went down. But he went down into that old life. He buried an old, dirty, nasty life. And he rose up again to a new life in Jesus Christ, testifying to a world that he has come to know Christ as his Savior. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and verse 4 says, we've been baptized into Jesus Christ. We are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. What a wonderful position that we have. We've been made alive. We've been made alive. What a glorious position. We should have the ability to understand spiritual truths in this new position. We should have the opportunity and the knowledge to understand spiritual blessings that come from God. We should know and understand the will of God. The will of God. These are all the things that Paul says come down from above. The things from above in verse 3. You see, the false teachers at the church at Colossae, these false teachers had accused the Colossian Christians of having some kind of secret wisdom, some transcendent knowledge that was only available to the spiritual elite. But I want you to know, Paul declares that it is no secret. All of the riches of truth necessary for our salvation, necessary for our sanctification, necessary for our glorification is found in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. The Amen. One who has been God revealed in John chapter 1. You have been raised up to a new life in Christ, my brother. You've been raised up to a new life in Christ.